The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network
on News.
Gardaí are continuing their investigation into the murder of 34-year-old Robert O'Connor, who was fatally attacked by inmates in Mountjoy Prison, the attack that lasted just 10 seconds. I'm joined on the line by Stephen Breen, crime editor with the Irish Sun, and in a moment we'll also be talking to Saoirse Brady, executive director with the Irish Penal Reform Trust. But first of all, Stephen, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, first of all, what can you tell us about 34-year-old Robert O'Connor?
Well, Robert O'Connor is from the Darndale area of Coolock in North Dublin. He's over 60 convictions ranging from theft, from shoplifting and some drugs offences as well. He was being held in Mountjoy Prison on a separate offence, but on the 27th of July, just last week, he received a 6.5-year sentence for possession of a loaded firearm in suspicious circumstances in October 2021. He's someone who has been attacked in the prison before, indeed just 2 days as well before he received that sentence. He was involved in another incident with another inmate where he was attacked with a kettle. And even last year, he was also involved in an incident in Clover Hill Prison. But on the Friday morning before he was attacked in the C2 landing of Mountjoy Prison, he gave no indication to the prison authorities that he felt under threat, and he was subsequently moved to the C2 landing of Mountjoy. But it's around 6 p.m. that evening on Friday, it's when he was attacked by three other inmates.
Now, it does appear there is some CCTV footage of what went down. Can you tell us what is known?
Yeah, well, the CCTV footage would cover the landings of the prison and indeed the recreation areas where the prisoners often gather, but there are no CCTV cameras in the prisoners' cells. But on this occasion, obviously, the guards will be looking very closely at the CCTV, but there is some suggestion that the CCTV captured three inmates going to a cell and dragging him into a cell as well. He wasn't attacked in his own cell. So there are just ways of looking at different avenues that the guards can focus on in terms of trying to identify and, you know, main suspects in this case. So the CCTV will be a crucial factor, but also in hoping that they gather witnesses as well, inmates who may come forward, who may have information for the Gardaí.
But it is your information that the three people who went into the cell with him, one first and then a second and third, that they have been identified?
The Gardaí have identified three suspects in this case. Another individual has also been identified as well. Three suspects are now in isolation within the prison. The guards haven't made any arrests yet. They haven't interviewed any of the suspects in this case. You know, the answers to this crime lie within the prison, so that the guards will be focusing all of their attentions on, you know, what happened on that landing and speak to everyone who was on the landing at the time, including the prison officers as well, who rushed to his aid. So it is an ongoing investigation.
The individuals who are the suspects in this crime are presumably seasoned criminals. They would be aware of the presence of CCTV. They would also be aware that you can get life imprisonment for murder, even if it is that you're part of a joint enterprise where you may not have actually inflicted any blows.
That's true. I mean, we've seen people go into prison on many occasions in the past where there was a case of joint enterprise, but you have, you know, three individuals involved. It's believed that one individual, you know, caused most of the damage here to Robert O'Connor by repeatedly jumping on his head. Robert O'Connor suffered bleeding to the brain, obviously was brought to the Mater Hospital, and his life support machine was turned off a number of days later. But, you know, when you do have three individuals involved, they're the main culprits. So Gardaí will be hoping to gather enough evidence to bring charges against all three of them, whether or not that's going to be murder for all three. But there surely is a possibility of joint enterprise in this case.
Now, in the case of this dead man, Robert O'Connor, he had, as you mentioned, 60 convictions to his name, most recently a firearms conviction. So he himself had potentially very many enemies. Why is it suspected that he was killed?
Well, Obviously, it's very early days in the Garda investigation, and there are a number of theories that the Garda will have to explore. You know, from speaking to the prison sources, one line of inquiry is that he was engaged in an incident with another inmate in which that inmate suffered a slash to his face. That inmate is understood to have obviously tried to seek some kind of revenge, and that's why he recruited other inmates to attack Robert O'Connor. The belief is that there was no intent to murder him. It was to give him a beating, but on this occasion, you know, it's got out of control and he's lost his life. So they'll also be looking at the possibility that someone from the outside may have arranged this incident. Has it anything to do with the fact that he was caught with a firearm last year, or was it that he was involved in other incidents with other prisoners? So many avenues for the Gardaí to explore.
So in this case, they have three people that they await questioning, and the logic there is they're not going anywhere.
That's it. As I said, the answers to this crime lie within the prison environment. Like the Gardaí aren't making any appeals for witnesses from outside the prison. They have a crime scene where the incident took place, so they know where these individuals are. They're serving very serious offences. They're in prison for a long time. They're not going anywhere, so the Gardaí will just take their time and gather the evidence until they come to a point where they feel that they're ready to make the arrest and put the evidence they have gathered to the suspects.
Yeah, the price for this life, you write, is €200 worth of heroin.
That's another theory that the Gardaí will be exploring, that because these individuals were within the prison system. So, you know, how do you reward someone for, you know, doing this type of activity within the prison? And obviously drugs are a big commodity in the prisons, as are mobile phones as well. So the suspicion on this occasion that even just a small amount of heroin, €200 worth, that's a lot of money within the prison system and the contraband side of things within the prison. So that's the belief that what has been offered to the prisoners to carry out this incident.
Now, some of these prisoners may, and I know nothing about them, and they have not been named the suspects in this case, they may be serving long sentences, and they may feel that whatever is handed down to them for this attack, which is now, of course, a murder, that it won't impact on the length of time they stay inside. However, given that this would be a separate trial of any individuals implicated, there's no guarantee for them that a sentence handed down by a judge, were it not to be a life sentence, would be concurrent. It could be a consecutive sentence. So when they do their 10 years, they may be looking at, life on top of that, which would make them very old indeed when they depart prison.
Oh, yeah, it's a very serious offence. So we know that one of them is in for possession of a weapon. Another individual is in for a very violent offence as well, and indeed another one for a series of violent crimes that he was involved in. But I think that when we come to this investigation, the Gardaí have upgraded their investigation from an assault to murder. So this is a totally separate investigation. If they are charged, it will be with murder. So they will be facing, you know, a separate charge and a separate possibility that they could be facing a life sentence. So this will be treated entirely different to the sentences that they're already serving. So it is a very serious matter for them as well, and they're facing the possibility of a life sentence.
Stephen Breen, crime editor with the Irish Sun. Thank you very much, Stephen, for joining us. Saoirse Brady, executive director of the Irish Penal Reform Trust, is on the line. Saoirse, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Pat.
Now, you obviously don't want to comment very specifically on this case, but tell me what will happen in a situation like this when a murder happens within a prison. We know prison assaults happen, and the prison officers can only do so much to act quickly to intervene. But you would expect that a prison would be, relatively speaking, a place of safety for those confined within.
Yes, Pat. Firstly, I won't comment on the individual case except to pass my condolences on to Mr. O'Connor's family, obviously. But just in terms of any death in prison, a murder in prison or a violent death such as this is a very rare occurrence. I think it's been about 16 years since something like this happened. So just to flag that initially. But there are other deaths that occur in prison. So this could be through suicide, through an overdose, for example, through old age or natural causes. And all of those, since 2012, all of those are subject to an investigation by the Office of the Inspector of Prisons. So when a death does occur in a prison, there are a number of people who need to be notified, including obviously the Irish Prison Service, senior management, and the Minister for Justice, but also the Inspector of Prisons.
Okay, now there would be therefore two investigations going on. One is the very simple, straightforward murder investigation, if that's what it is decided happened here, a murder investigation. Mm-hmm. The Gardaí are involved. They come in, they question people, they try to gather evidence and so on, and a trial will take place. And then there's another investigation, which is the business of the prison, and that is to find out how was this allowed to happen.
Yes, exactly. There's an inspector of prisons, so they are separate from the prison service themselves. And basically, they will look at whether they won't look at the cause of death as such. They'll look at the circumstances around the death and look to see if there were any operational or management issues or policies in place to prevent something like this happening in the future. And they'll make recommendations. Another thing they will do is they'll ensure that the prisoner's family, that they will have a voice in this and raise any concerns that they might have had. And they will carry out an investigation and produce a report alongside recommendations and an action plan. And that is sent to the Irish Prison Service. And it's really to look at what lessons could be learned to prevent a similar incident happening in the future. And then the Irish Prison Service responds to those recommendations initially and says what they will do to stop this happening in the future or how they will take those recommendations on board. But I suppose what we don't see then is maybe ongoing progress reports on those. And then I suppose the other thing to flag is just the delay that can happen in from the time a death might take place to the time the report is published. That could be sometimes months, sometimes years. And in fairness to the Office of the Inspector of Prisons, they were under-resourced for quite a long time and they have more recently quadrupled in size. So they have more inspectors to carry out these reports and investigations now. But I suppose what we know is happening at the moment is there is forthcoming legislation that will go before the Justice Committee in the autumn. And it's called the Inspector of Places of Detention Bill. And that will help us comply with our international obligations as well. And it will put in place a national preventative mechanism so that there are bodies that are going into places like prison or, you know, where people are detained for their own mental health reasons or, you know, young people in Oberstown. There will be different bodies that will go in and they will routinely look at what the conditions are like and they'll make recommendations to prevent these things happening.
When people get beaten up in prison, it does happen. Fights happen. When we did a program about Mountjoy and from Mountjoy, we saw CCTV of a group gathering in a recreation room and within seconds, a man had been targeted, beaten up. Then a hoodie was swapped to avoid identifying the perpetrator. It all happened in a matter of seconds. Of course, prison officers came in and they dealt with the situation. But, you know, it's very difficult to anticipate that kind of stuff going on. Now, in the particular case that we have been talking with Stephen, clearly there was a deliberate attempt on a man's life. But, should that man have been even mixing with those people? Is that where in, going forward, they'll have to have a much more strict risk assessment of the danger to someone's life and perhaps deny them recreation, make sure they recreate alone, all of that kind of thing?
So at the moment, there is a safety assessment and a risk assessment that's carried out for every person who goes to prison by the Irish Prison Service. And as part of that, they do ask the person if they feel there are any threats, and they will assess whether there is a perceived or actual threat against the person. That means that at the moment, the latest data that we have from April of this year, there are 575 people placed on protection, as it's called. So that's a restricted regime. That means that they're kept separate from the rest of the prison population, that they may have less access, and it depends on prison to prison, but they may have less access to exercise, for example, or education programs because they won't be out of their cell as often as some of the other prisoners. And while we recognise there is a need for safety, and just to say the other thing is that out of those 575 people, 563 of them asked for protection themselves, so they felt there was a threat against them. Mm. So very often it is the person themselves that asks for that. But what we don't want to see happen is that, you know, that there are people placed on a restricted regime as, you know, just out of kind of a de facto position to ensure that everyone is kept safe. You have to look at the individual circumstances of the case. And, you know, this is a very rare occurrence. Of course, the Irish Prison Service has a very difficult and challenging job to try and balance, you know, the safety and security of people alongside their rights, because obviously people are in prison. They should have access to rehabilitation and to education and work and training programs. You know, so if they are placed in a restricted regime, very often they don't have that access. It also puts a huge amount of pressure on limited resources within the Irish Prison Service. And I did hear John Lonergan, the former governor of Mountjoy, on earlier, and he was talking about the investment that's been put in to kind of violence reduction training, and that's really welcome. But I suppose we need to ensure that the Irish Prison Service is adequately resourced and adequately supported in order to do their job. Yeah. We know there's a huge push on recruitment at the moment because there have been a lot of retirements very recently, so that recruitment is ongoing, and you know, we welcome that.
As some of the comments coming in from Liam, prisons are dangerous places and they house dangerous people. The feuds on the streets are just as prevalent in the prisons, and the people responsible for these feuds are extremely violent, and the number of prison officers on the landings has been reduced to a token presence, which places them in extreme danger every day. A prisoner last Friday, an officer someday soon, but does the Irish Prison Service management care? That's a question from Liam. On mobile phones and how criminals are capable of carrying on their enterprises from within prison walls, this text says, my local cinema can block mobile signals. Why can't the prisons? Absolutely no reason for that, because prison officers can use walkie-talkies to communicate with each other. And if they do need to communicate with their families, they can go to an office and use a landline. So there's no excuse there. If you lock a man in a small cage and someone beats him to death where he's absolutely no way to defend himself or evade his murder, how by any acceptable standards is that democratic or reasonable? From Richard the Thatcher, who's a regular listener to News Talk. The question of, you know, how to run a reasonable regime in the prisons while keeping everybody safe, Saoirse, that's the fundamental question, isn't it?
It is, and I suppose that's why we are calling for that robust investigation by the Office of Inspector of Prisons, and also for the new legislation to ensure that they have the powers that they need, that they are adequately resourced to carry out these investigations in a timely manner, and that they'll be able to publish the reports directly so that hopefully there isn't that huge delay between them. So the recommendations can be presented to the Irish Prison Service and they can act on them, you know, as a matter of priority. So that's what we really... legislation that's forthcoming is really important, I think. I mean, it's a real opportunity to get this right and to look at the whole penal reform system as a whole and just see what we can do to improve matters and ensure that incidents don't like this don't happen. As I said, they are a rare occurrence. There is violence in the prisons, obviously, but we want to look at how we can best manage that. And obviously those are operational matters for the Irish Prison Service.
All right. Saoirse, thank you very much for joining us. Saoirse Brady, Executive Director of the Irish Penal Reform Trust.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.